Well, it's been a very busy week in politics and a tough one for the government, with the coalition exposed over its failure to listen to thousands of women who marched on Parliament House, the mass vaccination drive off to a bumpy start, and the government failing to get its industrial relations reforms through the Senate. To discuss that, I'm joined by Insider's host, David Spears. David, we've heard from a number of female politicians this week about the abuse that they've suffered. Yesterday, Labor's Tanya Plibersek told Sky about some of what she's been subjected to.
I've had death threats. I've had rape threats. I've had someone threaten to kill my mother. I've had someone write to my home address and say that they hope my three children die of painful childhood cancers.
That's Labor MP Tanya Plibersek. David Spears, has it been shocking, some of the detail that's come out, particularly in the past few days?
Yes, I think it has. Perhaps not, though, to women in the public eye, politicians and beyond, who cop this sort of abuse on a regular basis. I mean, this debate really has broadened now into that field as well, which, you know, is an important one, needs to be addressed. And I think what you're hearing there is a bit of anger too from Tanya Plibersek in her voice there, that Nicole Flint on the Liberal side has been accusing her and other women, most notably herself and Penny Wong, of not doing enough to speak up when Nicole Flint copped terrible sexual abuse, vile online abuse before the last election. Well, Tanya Plibersek there clearly saying this is a bipartisan affair, if you like. Women on all sides cop this sort of stuff and cop it constantly, and it is something that needs to be stopped.
Do you think there really will be a bipartisan collective here of women from across the aisle talking about these issues in the longer term?
Yeah, there's a movement towards that, to engage across the aisle with a longer conversation about what to do about this. Look, it's not an easy thing to fix, though. Yes, we've had a lot of conversation in the last few weeks about dealing with sexual harassment and sexual abuse generally, whether it's in Parliament or other workplaces. But dealing with the sort of trolling that goes on online targeted at women, that is a harder thing to fix. Yes, it does need to be called out, and that's what we're seeing this week. But is that going to stop it, or is it going to encourage it? We'll see.
We've now got Liberal MP Russell Broadbent telling the Prime Minister to have a women's summit. Do you think the PM will act?
Look, I think it's a good idea, some sort of show from the Prime Minister that he's serious about change here, whether that's changing the law, changing what happens in Parliament at a workplace level, and changing the culture when it comes to attitudes to women. I do think he needs to be doing something. A summit suggested by one of his backbenchers there in Russell Broadbent, not a bad idea. Sitting down with Grace Tame, the Australian of the Year, or others who've been prominent in this debate. Sure, I can understand there are arguments why he didn't want to front the debate, the march on Monday. Arguably it would have been a moment of leadership to do that, but having chosen not to, I still think there is an opportunity to do something here for the Prime Minister, and a summit may be the way to go.
We were speaking earlier, David, with the head of the AMA about phase 1B of the mass vaccination drive, which begins on Monday. 6 million Australians will be eligible for the shot, but there are only around 200,000 doses available. What could the government have done better?
Well, we've had time to get the logistics right. We're not first out of the blocks when it comes to the vaccine rollout, and doctors are complaining that they weren't given enough preparation time, information about how this is all going to work with the online bookings and so on. And some argue that they should have actually been given the vaccines before opening up the bookings process. So let's hope these are just some teething problems. The government is certainly playing down the degree to which there were these problems this week. But let's hope that from next week and the weeks that follow, things can ramp up and can ramp up smoothly. But I note that the New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian has also injected a note of concern here. She doesn't think at the moment that the timeline, the target of vaccinating the nation by October, is going to be met the way things have started.
The government's plans to reform industrial relations were defeated in the Senate yesterday. What actually happened? It seemed to be very confusing at some stages during the day yesterday.
Yeah, look, it did. In the broad, what happened was, the government bowled up something that, wasn't of the scale of John Howard's work choices, but nonetheless, enough for Labor and the unions to really rip into, and they did so with TV ads and the lot. The government's heart, I would argue, was never really in this, and certainly without Christian Porter at the finish line, it wasn't really prosecuting the case for these changes at all. In the end, yesterday, it was very messy, as four of the five key elements of this bill were carved out. All it got through was one in relation to casuals. So it's, after, 10 months or so of round tables and talks and negotiations, it's come up with next to nothing in this IR change.
So what went wrong? Was there something happening in the negotiation process?
Well, it had One Nation on board after some amendments, but it needed three out of the five crossbenchers. Jackie Lambie and Rex Patrick were never really engaged by the government in negotiations. The other, Sterling Griff, was, but he ultimately decided that there were only two elements that he was willing to support: the casuals and wage theft. But in the end, the government decided that it was going to carve out the wage theft element itself, and that only left the casuals element surviving.
And David, there was some very good economic news to finish off the week. Unemployment fell from 6.3% to 5.8% in the February quarter. These were much better figures than economists were expecting. Does this vindicate the government's decision to end the JobKeeper payment in just over a week?
I think it strengthens the argument, yes, for ending an economy-wide payment like this. I think you can still argue that certain sectors are going to need support, and more support than has been announced by the government so far. I mean, hotels are still empty. Travel agents have got no business. So you can still make the argument that certain sectors need support. But at 5.8% unemployment, that's unquestionably a good figure. We've arrived at that rate 6 months earlier than was forecast. Look, we'll see what happens when JobKeeper ends, though, and that's at the end of next week. That's when the tide will go out, and we'll see who's wearing swimmers, I suppose, to see who is able to survive in this economy without that government support. I think we will see, and I know the government is expecting this, some uptick in the unemployment rate, but how much of an uptick and how long it lasts is still the big unknown.
Which sectors is the government most worried about?
Oh, clearly tourism is the big sector. I mean, hospitality as well, but and the arts as well, and events and so on. But tourism is the big concern. And what it announced about a week ago, the $1.2 billion cheap airfares package, yes, has kept the airlines happy, but many in the tourism sector are not. They are still demanding more support. The government may not do that until the May budget, though, so we're going to have a period between the end of JobKeeper and whenever more support arrives, in which we will see businesses fold, in which we will see some adjustment, structural adjustment in the economy. Let's see how many can transition out of those failing businesses, unsupported businesses, into work that is going to survive.
And David, who is your guest on Insiders on Sunday morning?
Labor's Christina Keneally, the Shadow Minister for Home Affairs, will be joining us on Sunday.
Well, certainly there's been a lot of news this week, and the issue regarding the treatment of women and the government's response to that we'll expect to continue, and obviously the economic challenges also moving forward.